Title of my sermon tonight is Why Church Nurseries Are Unscriptural and Wrong. And so that's why I have a baby on my hip right here. This is my daughter, Chloe. And across America today, preachers are unwilling to have children and babies in the service because they basically want to preach in a vacuum. Everything has to be silent. Everything has to be perfect. No distractions. So I'm going to show that not only can I preach with babies and children in the service, I'll preach the sermon holding a baby. Amen. You know, just to show that it's these guys who need to adjust so that people can have their children in church with them so that their children can be safe. Amen. And free from predators. They're the ones who need to get on the program of, you know, adjusting their preaching to be able to, you know, handle a little bit of a distraction. Right? So, let's look at what the Bible says. Let's start out in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. The Bible reads in verse 13 of Matthew 19, "Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." Okay, look if you would at Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. While you're turning to Mark 10, I'll read for you from Luke 18. "And they brought unto him also infants." Did you hear that? They brought unto him infants. So we're not just talking about children, but actually babies. An infant is defined as one who cannot yet walk. It says, "They brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Mark 10:13, "They brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them." So notice in all three passages we see that the disciples, they don't want the little children and the infants coming. They obviously saw it as a nuisance or a distraction. And Jesus rebuked them and said, "Whoa, suffer the little children to come unto me. Let these infants come unto me. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he put his hands on them, he prayed for them, he blessed them, and so forth. Look down at your Bible there. It says, "Verily I say unto you," verse 15, "whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now let's go back to the Old Testament, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. The bottom line is that the nursery system, where people drop off their baby with strangers, or even if it's with people that they know or think that they know, it's not a scriptural system. Throughout the Bible, whether we're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, the children and babies are in the church, they're in the congregation, they're gathered together with all of God's people. They're not segregated off somewhere in some communist daycare, you know, being taken care of by others. They stay with their parents, and we can see that in both Old and New Testaments. Let's start out in Deuteronomy chapter number 31. We'll see the congregation with Moses. Now, the Bible calls this in the New Testament the church in the wilderness. Congregation is the Old Testament word for the New Testament word, church. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 11, "When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything." We're talking about a little child that doesn't know anything, hasn't learned anything, just a blank sheet of paper, just a little sponge ready to learn. It says that their children which have not known anything, I lost my place. What verse am I in?
13.
"That their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whether you go over Jordan to possess it." I don't know about you. I want my children to hear the word of God preached, and I want them to learn to fear the Lord my God as long as I live in the land where I go over to possess it. Look, I care more about my children than about the rest of the members of this church. I care more about my wife than about the rest of the members of this church. You know, my own personal family are the most important people to me on this earth. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, those are the most important people in my life. And I know you feel the same way about your wife. You feel the same way about your children. And we need to care about our children enough to say, well, and not to think, oh, let's just get rid of them. They're a nuisance. They're a pain. Stick them in another room so we can just kind of sit back and relax and enjoy. No. To me, the children are an important part of the service. They're not just a necessary evil, but rather they're here, they're learning, they're profiting from the service. Now, little children are picking up a lot more than you think. Some people have an attitude of, well, what could a baby or a toddler possibly be getting out of the service? But keep in mind, these church nurseries, usually they go up to age 3 at least. Often they go up through age 4. There are many churches across America where children don't even get into the main service until they're 12 years old. It's out there. I mean, you're going to tell me that a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old are not understanding the preaching? I mean, that's ridiculous. They learn all kinds of stuff. And constantly, my 2-year-old and your 2-year-old and 3-year-olds, don't they constantly quote things from the sermons or things that they heard in church? Even when they're just the tiniest little kids, they'll pull things out. Or how about this? My son, Boaz, he's 2 years old. He's always singing songs from church all around the house. He's a 2-year-old. He's walking around singing praises to God. They're quoting the sermons. They talk about stories that were brought out in the sermon. They're learning more than you think. But, you know, even when they're just a little baby this age, even if they don't understand the subject matter of the sermon, they're still learning what church sounds like, what church looks like, what church feels like. I guarantee you when they grow up and they walk into some limp-wristed church and some queer little sissy contemporary music, they're going to be like, whoa, this isn't church. See, we're getting them used to the hymns. We're getting them used to hard preaching. We're getting them used to being around godly men and women, and they're learning. They're picking up more than you think. Let's flip over to the book of Ezra, chapter 10. Ezra, chapter number 10. See, children aren't a nuisance. Children are who we're here to preach to. Children are the most important people in the church. And, you know, I thank God that in our church, out of 300 people in our church, probably 150 of them are children. Why? Because that's the next generation. That's why. And many independent Baptist churches across America are dying because the church is filled with nothing but old people. You've been to those churches, right? It's nothing but the elderly. And look, I love older people. I praise God for the handful of older people who go to our church. But honestly, when you have nothing but old people, something's wrong. You should have a mixture. You should have older people, younger people, children, families, toddlers. Otherwise, you have no future. You have no future. I mean, this is the future. Babies, toddlers, children are the future. And so we want them here, and we want them learning from day one. We want them even in the womb learning. Is my mic still intact here? All right. Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. So here we have a congregation in the days of Ezra that includes men, women, and children. Now go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 is the only scripture I've ever had anybody show me to try to justify the nursery from a biblical standpoint. It's frankly not biblical. There's nothing in the Bible that explains to take the children out and have children's workers that are outside the service taking care of the kids, or to have a separate children's church with a dumbed down message. Instead of having the little kids even in big boy church with everybody else. So I've challenged pastors. I've challenged people who believed in this. You know, show me the nursery in the Bible. And look, this isn't just something that's a preference for these people. If these people wanted to offer a nursery and make it optional, that wouldn't really be a big deal, because you know what? That's their problem if they want to stick their kid in that nursery. Look, the churches that I grew up in and the churches that many of you have gone to in the past, the nursery was compulsory. The nursery was enforced. You must put your child in the nursery according to that. Now, here's the thing. There's a baby screaming right now. In order to make this model work, if babies scream and cry, you know, sometimes they need to be taken out of the service. I mean, like all the way out side, okay? Or at least to a mother baby room, or maybe even if they can't be contained in there, then they need to be taken all the way outside just to be calmed down and then brought back in, okay? Obviously, that's going to help make it work. But the thing about it is that these churches, they'll force you, they'll come up to you and say, hey, we have a nursery, or they won't even let you into the building if you have a baby in your arm. Now, I used to go to First Baptist Church of Hammond because I was in Hiles Anderson College at one time. And when I was there, we had this issue because they had ushers guarding the door and no baby's getting in. Okay, so we would smuggle our toddler in, even though he was too young. We'd sneak him in, he's under the overcoat, you know, we're smuggling. It was like, you know, a stealth mission trying to get our toddler into the service. But then my wife had a newborn baby, and we thought to ourselves, you know, there's no way, it was John, my third born, there's no way we're going to be able to get John into this service. But there was no way in hell that we were going to turn him over to a bunch of strangers at First Baptist Church of Hammond. Not happening. Right, Chloe? I mean, there were kids that literally died in that nursery. Okay? I mean, look, it's a huge church. You don't know everybody at all. There's no way we're just going to turn our kids over to the nursery workers. Not going to happen. So they had this room where they put, like, crazy people. Okay? It was sort of like our mother baby room in the sense that it was a room with a big window. And they would put people in there from these nursing homes and people who had literal mental issues and other people who were handicapped in physical ways or you know, disabled, sorry. I don't know what the politically correct term is this week. But anyway, we went and got a doctor's note, you know, because he had a little rash or something. You know, every baby has a little rash. But we played it up, like, where we went and got a doctor to sign off, like, this baby can't go in the nursery because he's got this condition. And so we got the doctor's note, and then we got a special little pass that would allow us to go into that. Do you remember what that room was called or what? I don't know what it was called, but it was like a little overflow room that was for people who have a physical problem. So we had to get some special ID card just to kind of beat the system in order to not have to stick our kid in that nursery and still be able to go to church there. But back when I went to church at Regency Baptist Church in Orangevale, California, you know, which is, you know, the church I went to for 5 years, when my wife and I went there and we had babies, this is something that we dealt with because they enforced the nursery policy. And one of the bad things about it was that we were constantly getting sick because they put all these babies together, they're all swapping germs, and we're just constantly getting sick, constantly getting sick. And this is what they would tell us. They would say, oh, this is just a phase that you have to go through when you have little babies where you're sick a lot. You know, because we're all getting sick all the time. We're missing work, you know. I mean, not we, because my wife didn't have a job, obviously. But I'm missing work, and we're getting sick. We're suffering. And we're complaining about the sanitation in the nursery and being forced to put our kids in the nursery because, you know, I'm using up every holiday and every sick day, you know, just from getting sick from the nursery and everything like that. Hey, this is just a phase you go through. Well, you know what's funny about that is that 16 years later, I'm still in that phase. See, these people, they're so used to a birth control mentality that they just think it's just this little phase. You have one or two kids, you grin and bear it, you get through it. Hey, this is my life. This isn't a phase. We've been in that phase nonstop for 15, 16 years. And so all across America, people are being persecuted and bullied and forced to drop their kid off with strangers. And it's ridiculous, and it's never going to happen at our church. Now, people say, like, well, that works for a small church, but it's not going to work for a big church. But yet our church has gotten up to 300 people on a Sunday morning, and our church has a much higher percentage of babies than your average church. I mean, in the bulletin, how many women are pregnant right now on this list? Somebody do the counting? Yeah, we have 12 ladies that are pregnant right now. So that's 12 more babies that are on their way. Sometimes we've had as many as 18 ladies pregnant at any one time. We have well over 100 babies and toddlers and little children in our church. Look, if we can do it here and make it happen here, you could do it at any size. You could do it at any church. You don't have to be some tiny living room family integrated church to make it work. No, we're making it work here with hundreds of people. And we're going to continue to make it work. And why? Because it's a priority. Now, can it sometimes be inconvenient? Of course. Can it sometimes be annoying? Of course. And obviously, you know what? People should get their kids under control. And we also need sermons about people disciplining their children and teaching them how to be good in church. And also, people do need to take them out when they scream or act up. We don't want to distract or disturb the people around us. You know, obviously, we want to be respectful of others. But we're not going to go to a length of just saying, oh, let's just get them all out, exclude them all, put them with strangers. Nehemiah chapter 8. The reason I turn here is because whenever I've challenged a preacher or a fellow believer on this subject to show me scripture of the nursery, this is what they all pull out every single time. And this is what my pastor back in Sacramento pulled out, you know, Nehemiah. Let's read it together. Nehemiah 8:1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So here's what they say. They say, well, right here, when they gathered the church together, of course, this is an Old Testament passage in Nehemiah. When they gathered the church together, it's only those who could hear with understanding. So any child, this is what they'll say, any child that was too young to understand was not in that group. That's what they'll say, because it was only those who could hear with understanding. Well, here's the problem with that. Number one, let's pretend for a minute that that were true. Where did God tell them to do that? This doesn't say, well, God told them to do it that way. This is just what they did. You know, this same guy, Ezra, also told a bunch of people to divorce their wives in Ezra chapter 10, and that wasn't right either. Look, Ezra and Nehemiah are historical books. These are not the prophets. These are not books that say, thus saith the Lord. These are historical books. 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. Okay, but number two, that's not what this is teaching. If you actually get the context of the book of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah multiple times talks about how there were people who couldn't understand their language, the Jews' language. A lot of the mixed multitude and people who are dwelling at Jerusalem did not speak the Jews' language. And so when it talks about those that were able to hear with understanding, it's talking about people who understood the language, if you actually get the context. But let me just prove to you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that this is not teaching a nursery, okay? I need more volunteers. I need somebody who has a baby to come up here and help me. Somebody bring a baby up here. Bring a baby. Wendy, are you coming up here to do this? All right, so here. Oh, you want Dominique? Yeah, hand it to Dominique. Dominique's always my victim. I mean, illustration. Okay. All right, so here's Dominique with a baby, right? Okay, now let's get a couple people up here without a baby. Just a couple people walk up here just to help me out. Don't be shy. Come on up here. Just a few other volunteers. Okay, so let's just have this. These guys represent, these are the children of Israel, okay? And I realize it's only three guys, but I'm saying this represents the multitude of the children of Israel. So let's just pretend that each person represents 1,000 people or whatever, okay? Well, let's say that over here, this is where we're going to have this event where I'm going to read the Word of God to all the people that can hear with understanding, right? Does everybody understand? And then over here, we're going to have the nursery, where we're going to put all the ones who are too young to understand, according to their logic, right? Okay. Okay, so you guys go over there, you guys that can hear with understanding, you're going to be a part of the service. Okay, sorry, she's too young, she can't be part, put her over there, okay? Go ahead and put her over there. You can't stay with her, though, because remember, I'm preaching to all the people that can hear with understanding. Okay? So nobody can stay with her. Now, look, does this look like it's going to work? Okay, go ahead and pick her up. I'm not that cruel. See, here's the thing. I actually believe what this scripture says. And if you actually believe what Nehemiah 8 says, it says that he preached to all the people, men and women and everyone that could hear with understanding. So here's my question. If there was another location where the ones that are too young to understand were, who's watching them? Because if their mothers are watching them, or if other men or women are watching them, that means that they're not over here. But the Bible said that they were all over here. Come on, come here, Dominique. Okay, so if he's over here with his baby, let me ask this. Is the Bible telling the truth now that everybody who could hear with understanding was there? Okay, but if he goes over there and he's watching the baby over there, is everybody who can hear with understanding there? Because Dominique's not there. You mean to tell me that they just left hundreds or even thousands of babies and toddlers at home with zero supervision? That's what look, that's what the Bible says here. It's nonsense to interpret it that way. Go ahead and sit down, everybody. Thanks. I mean, let's look at it again. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man. That's why we used one man to illustrate, you know, lots of people. Under the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So this doesn't hold water once you analyze it, that this is teaching a nursery. What it's actually teaching is that people who didn't speak the language well enough to understand, they weren't there. That makes sense. Go, if you would, to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter number 2. Is this for me or her? Joel chapter number 2 is in the Minor Prophets, right after the great big books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. You get into the Minor Prophets, Hosea, then Joel. Look at Joel chapter 2, verse 16. It says, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children. Well, you know, children, that's older kids. That's 4 and up. Oh, really? And those that suck the breasts. So when they gather the congregation, he said, gather men, women, children, and suckling, and infant, and those that suck the breast. That's part of the congregation. And what do they got? Nehemiah 8. Right? Where they're misunderstanding it. They didn't get the context. Go to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. And the Bible says in Isaiah 28, after we go to Isaiah 28, we're going to go to Ephesians 6. You want to get your finger in both places. I've only got one hand to turn pages tonight. But in Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 9, it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. See, you learn the word of God little by little, and it starts when you're a baby. It starts out when you're just an infant and a suckling, and you learn little by little. What he's explaining here is that the previous generation was so screwed up, even the prophets, even the priests are all teaching lies. He's saying, we need a whole new generation. We need to start with babies who are just drawn off the breast and teach them doctrine, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Let's go to the New Testament. Go to Ephesians 6, Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and then we're also going to look at Colossians 3. Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3. Ephesians 6 and Colossians number 3. Now, first let me point this out. At the end of the book of the Thessalonians, it says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. All right? I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. He also talks about how he wanted the Colossians and the Thessalonians and those of Laodicea to read each other's epistles. Obviously, when he wrote the epistle to the Colossians, he doesn't want it to just be read by the Colossians. He said, read that in the ears of you know, this other church as well. So he said that the church of Laodicea should read the epistle from Colossians and vice versa. You know, so obviously, these scriptures are to be read to the churches aloud. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read. Epistle is the letter that Paul wrote. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. In fact, at the front of your King James Bible, it says on the cover page, appointed to be read in churches. In fact, 1 Timothy says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So we are to read the Bible out loud in church, and it's supposed to be read before all the holy brethren. But notice what it says in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 1. Who's he talking to here? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, how could he address the children if they're not even there?
Right.
You know, obviously this letter is supposed to be read to everybody. That's why it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He's even got something special for the children, even in the letter that he writes to the church. Why? Because they're there, because they're in church, because they're hearing the scripture itself. Colossians chapter 3 has the same thing. Colossians chapter 3, where he addresses different groups. Verse 18 is to the wives. Verse 19 is to the husbands. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So this scripture is intended to teach children. Now, another major issue for why I'm against the nursery, it's not just because it's unbiblical, that there's no scripture that teaches it. It's not just because it actually is contrary to scripture, because scripture teaches that in the Old Testament congregations, the children were there, the babies were there, the sucklings were there, everybody was there. It's not just because Jesus was not irritated by children. He wanted them to come. Hey, guess what? When he fed the 5,000, it was men, women, and children that were there listening to the preaching. So there's no, it's not scriptural. It's contrary to scripture. Number two, it's also an opportunity for the children to learn important things and important doctrines, especially as they get to be 1, 2, 3, and 4. They're getting important teaching. But not only that, being in church with the parents is safe for the children because the nursery and children's church is a dangerous place to stick your children. Especially in 2017, this has never been more true than it is right now. Why? Because there is so much iniquity abounding today. There's so much wickedness and sin, and there are so many perverts today that are just roaming our land, and they're trying to infiltrate the churches. That's a major agenda, is get in churches. The sodomites today have announced that they want to get into churches. Why do you think they want to get married? It's not because they want to be monogamous or monoandrous or whatever you'd call that abomination. It's because of the fact that they want to be normalized. They want to be accepted, and they want to come into churches. I mean, what in the world would a sodomite have to do in a Bible-believing church except to just be there to defile and to be there to pervert the innocent? And the Bible talks about those who creep in unawares. We talked about the workers of iniquity this morning. And the Bible talks about how they set a trap and lay a snare, and they lie in wait to destroy lives. And they love to destroy the innocent. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2 about these wicked people who creep in that they beguile unstable souls. It also mentions the term cursed children. These people creep in. Today, you know, and I'm not going to rehash what I already have preached about, this Bob Gray Sr. promoting this, you know, Born That Way ministries and all that. That Born That Way After All book, it flat out says repeatedly that these former sodomites or men who struggle with lusting after other men or supposedly born eunuchs, which is stupid, and I'm sorry for repeating that ridiculous doctrine again, but it says that they make great children's workers repeatedly in the book, over and over and over again. It just keeps saying in the book, like, he's a great VBS worker. Oh, these eunuchs, that's their code word for a sodomite because they don't know what a eunuch is. They don't know what a eunuch really is. Oh, they make great children's workers. It's
It's all over their website. It's all through that book. And then Bob Gray Sr. had the audacity to say, oh, I read the second book. Or no, I'm sorry. He said a couple days ago, I read the book a second time, and I love it, and it's true, and it's right. Mm. This pro-fag garbage, okay? Look, that just goes to show you, even the Independent Fundamental Baptists are embracing this queer doctrine that literally just flat out says, make them a children's worker. It even says, have these two eunuch dudes live with each other, just platonic. But they can show physical affection, but not too much and not too openly. And they make great children's workers. It's all in the book. Don't you call me a liar. I'll show it to you in the book. I've got the book. I've got that piece of trash. I'll put on a pair of latex gloves, and I'll pull out that book, you know, because I don't know what kind of, you know, virus or what kind of dirty whatever residue is on there. You know, I'll show you it in the book yourself if you don't believe me. I already made a YouTube video where I showed all that. Where I just turn the pages in the book and show it right out of the book. Because nobody will believe you. I wouldn't believe it either if I didn't see it. It's so crazy. How can anybody believe it? But look, now more than ever, don't put your kid in the nursery. Don't Amen. Put your kid in children's church. Keep them with you. Keep them supervised. Watch them. And by the way, just because you come to Faith Forward Baptist Church and say amen, here's an idea. Watch your kid after the service. Watch your kid in the neighborhood. You know, don't just say, yeah, amen, Brother Anderson, and then your kid just runs wild throughout the neighborhood, runs wild. You know, we need to supervise our children. Obviously, when they get older, especially the boys, need some more freedom. But I'm talking about little kids. I mean, you need to watch them. You got to supervise them. You got to take care of them now more than ever. And this is what this just gets me real fired up when I hear this dumb argument. It blows me away. Here's the argument.
We do background checks at our church.
I mean, it's just like,
we do background checks.
Okay, well, did you know that the average pedophile molests 260 victims in his lifetime? Now, if they're getting arrested every time they do it, or most of the time they do it, or even a tenth of the time they do it, they wouldn't get to 260 victims. You know how they get to 260 victims? Because they molest scores of victims before getting caught. Usually when you hear about these pedophiles getting caught, it's like 20 years later. It's like, oh, 20 years ago he molested this person, and then they came out, and then 12 other victims came out. Isn't there always just a whole line of victims that come out? Oh, once she came forward, 10 other people came forward. And it's 15 years ago, 17 years ago. How in the world can the average pedophile molest 260 victims unless they're getting away with it all the time? So you know what? The background check tells you nothing. It just tells you they haven't been caught yet. That doesn't guarantee it. Everybody does it for the first time. Think about that. Every murderer kills their first person. Every thief steals something for the first time. Every drunk took their first drink, right? And every pedophile molested a kid for the first time.
Oh, but the background check was clean.
Yeah, that's because 8 years later they're going to get caught. And then once it's too late, once lives have been destroyed, once irreparable damage is done to babies and children, then it's like, oh, turns out this guy was a pervert. And you know what? If you've been in church as long as I have, you could tell all the stories about the people who were at the Fundamental Baptist churches who turn out to be perverts. They turn out to be pedophiles. Why? Because the Bible promised us that there would be wicked people who would creep in unawares. Judas Iscariots, false teachers, false prophets, perverts, infiltrators. They're going to be. He didn't say they might be among you. He said they shall be among you. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. And let me tell you something. My children are too important to me to roll the dice on that. And just take that gamble. Say, well, just pray for God to protect them. You know, okay, well, why don't we just go let them play ball in the street and just pray for God to protect them? Right? Let's just send them out on a snowy day with no jacket and just pray for God to keep them warm. That's nonsense. God told us to keep our children and to take care of our children. And he gave us our children not so that we could just cast them off because we're too lazy to deal with them. Yeah, obviously it's easier to sit in church without it. You know what? It's easier to preach a sermon without holding a baby. Of course it's easier to just sit back and listen to the sermon. But you know what? It's a small price to pay to have a little bit of crying, the mic getting pulled off a little bit, you know, babies acting up every once in a while, and you know, disturbances or whatever, you're having to deal with them or step out or miss 5 minutes of the sermon is a small price to pay to keep your child innocent and pure and from getting defiled.
Amen.
Small price to pay. And then they say, oh, but the sermon's just so important. You know, they have to hear that sermon. They can't miss that sermon. If they miss 5 minutes of the sermon, you know, that could affect their soul. You know, I'd rather that my kid or me or everybody in this whole building miss the entire sermon than for my kid to get molested. I'd rather miss a month of sermons. I'd rather that you miss a month of sermons than for my kid to get defiled in one of these nurseries or children's churches. That does irreparable damage. Those are scars for life. It's not worth it. It's not biblical. Don't do it. It's not worth it. And look, if you ever end up at a church, because I know some people are visiting here or other people, they might get a job transfer or move someday and go to a church that has this nursery policy. You know what? Don't do it. Don't put your kid in the nursery. Now, we need people to stand their ground, though. You know, I visit other churches with my family, and they always approach us like 5 times. You know, we have a nursery, children's. I just tell them, no thanks. But you know what? If my church told me, well, you guys just need to go somewhere else, you just need to leave then. Okay, drag me out. Or why don't you find a scriptural reason for voting me out? People need to stand up, and obviously we need to be kind and respectful and not rebuke an elder, but treat him as a father. But you know what? When a pastor is telling you that you can't come to church because you have kids unless you turn them over to strangers, he has no right to do that. And look, I do believe that a pastor has certain authority. I do believe that he's called the ruler in the house of God. But you know what? That is not an unlimited authority. And that is not the authority to tell people that they can't come to the church if they have a baby or a child, because they're actually reproducing like a normal person. Right? They're persecuted for coming to church with their kid. It's wicked, is what it is. Stand out there or sit here under my footstool because you've got a big family, or because you've got a baby, or because you've got a toddler. It's ridiculous. I think she's a little bored by the sermon, but she's learning, folks. She's learning more than you think. No, I got this, honey. Oh, she wants her pacifier? All right, well, let's... What's the matter? You like it when I hold you. Is this just too radical of a sermon for you? I'm preaching about you. I'm trying to keep you from getting defiled here. You gonna take your plug or what? All right, there we go. All right, see? Oh, now I've just completely lost my train of thought. I can't even preach now. Now people's spiritual lives have been ruined by this terrible distraction. It's like sometimes these churches, it's almost like their idea is to like put you into some kind of a trance or something. And then when the piano begins to play, everybody stand, would you come? And then everybody's going to come down. It's like you're going to break the spell or something if a baby cries or somebody coughs or something. And you know what? My sermons, you could cut off the beginning or the end, and you'll still get something out of it. You'll still learn something. Amen?
Amen.
You could walk out for 10 minutes and come back, and you'll still learn something. You'll still get some. You'll still get some Bible preaching. You'll still get some Bible teaching. It's not worth it to turn your kids over just to avoid a fight or just to avoid controversy. You know, I'll fight that battle. I fought it when I was in that position. Thank God I started a church. And so, you know, I can do what I want, and I can do it biblical and have the kids with me. But, you know, I struggled that struggle for the first several years of marriage and childbearing, and it's hard. And I feel bad for people that are being persecuted in their own church by megalomaniacal pastors who want to dictate to people, you know, that they have to stick their kid with a bunch of strangers and possible perverts.
And you know what? If you think even in a church like ours, there have been wicked people that have crept in that we've thrown out of the church. Okay, let alone these churches that preach soft. I mean, if you preach softly, you're going to get even more weirdos. At least we preach a lot of them out the door with the hard preaching, thank God. And so today, if we study the Bible, we see that Old Testament with Moses, the children are there, the babies are there. Ezra and Nehemiah, the babies are there. New Testament, children are addressed, suffer the children, the infants are invited. And we see that number one, it's biblical. Number two, they're learning. And number three, they're safest with mom and dad. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the chance to be in a church, Lord, that respects the family and that keeps children with their parents, with their brothers and sisters, Lord, where everybody can learn the Word of God together. And thank you that that's not a fight that we have to fight every week. But, Lord, I just pray for those who are struggling with this across America, Lord. I pray that you'd open the eyes of these misguided pastors to the dangers of their children's programs and their nurseries and all this garbage. And I pray that you would also just soften their heart to the scriptures and to the pleas of their people that are just trying to live a normal life and have children and keep them safe and healthy and away from danger, Lord. I just pray that Baptist churches across America would get more biblical on this matter, Lord. And I pray that those who come to our church here, Lord, would work to train their children and discipline their children so that we can be a good example of this, Lord, and that we wouldn't just be an advertisement for the church nursery by having kids running amok, Lord. Please just bless our church, Lord. Continue to bless and continue to bless us all with many more children, Lord, as you see fit. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.